Chapter 49. Esther, the Hebrew Girl Who Became Queen. Nearly 50,000 children of the captivity had taken advantage of the decree permitting their return. These, however, were but a mere remnant. Hundreds of thousands of Israelites had chosen to remain in Medo-Persia rather than undergo the hardships of the return journey and the re-establishment of their desolated cities and homes. A score or more years passed when a decree was issued by Darius Hystaspes, the monarch then ruling. Thus did God in mercy provide another opportunity for the Jews to return to the land of their fathers. The Lord foresaw the troublous times that were to follow during the reign of Xerxes, Ahasuerus of the Book of Esther, and he inspired Zechariah to plead with the exiles to return. "Escape to Zion, you who dwell with the daughter of Babylon. For thus said the Lord of hosts, after his glory sent me to the nations who plundered you, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. Behold, I will shake my hand over them, and they shall become plunder for those who served them. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me." Zechariah 2, verse 7 to 9. RSV. It was still the Lord's purpose that his people should glorify his name. He had given them many opportunities to return to him. Some had chosen to listen, and some had found salvation in the midst of affliction. Many of these were among the remnant that should return. Those whose spirit God had raised, Ezra 1, verse 5, returned under the decree of Cyrus. But God ceased not to plead with those who voluntarily remained in the land of exile, and through manifold agencies he made it possible for them also to return. However, the larger number of those who failed to respond to the decree remained unimpressible, and even when Zechariah warned them to flee from Babylon, they did not heed the invitation. The Death Decree Against God's People. Meanwhile, conditions in Medo-Persia were changing rapidly. Darius Hystaspes was succeeded by Xerxes the Great. During his reign, those who had failed to flee were called on to face a terrible crisis. Having refused the way of escape God had provided, now they were brought face to face with death. Through Haman the Agagite, an unscrupulous man high in authority in Medo-Persia, Satan worked to counterwork the purposes of God. Haman cherished bitter malice against Mordecai, a Jew. Mordecai had done Haman no harm, but had simply refused to show him worshipful reverence. Scorning to lay hands on Mordecai alone, Haman plotted to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus. Esther 3, verse 6. Misled by Haman, Xerxes was induced to decree the massacre of all Jews scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of Medo-Persia. Verse 8. A certain day was appointed on which the Jews were to be destroyed and their property confiscated. Satan, the instigator of the scheme, was trying to rid the earth of those who preserved the knowledge of the true God. In every province, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing. And many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Esther 4, verse 3. The decree of the Medes and Persians could not be revoked. Apparently, all the Israelites were doomed to destruction. But in the providence of God, Esther had been made queen. Mordecai was her near relative. In their extremity, they decided to appeal to Xerxes in behalf of their people. Esther was to venture into his presence as an intercessor. "Who knoweth," said Mordecai, "whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Verse 14. The Great Prayer Meeting. The crisis Esther faced demanded quick action. But both she and Mordecai realized that unless God should work in their behalf, their efforts would be unavailing. So Esther took time for communion with God. Go, she directed Mordecai. Gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. Verse 16. The events that followed, the appearance of Esther before the king, the favor shown her, the banquets of the king and queen with Haman as the only guest, the troubled sleep of the king, the public honor shown Mordecai, and the humiliation and fall of Haman. All these are parts of a familiar story. God wrought marvelously for his people. A counter-decree issued by the king, allowing God's people to fight for their lives, was communicated to the realm by mounted couriers who rode out in haste, urged by the king's command. There was gladness and joy among the Jews, a feast and a holiday. And many from the peoples of the country declared themselves Jews, for the fear of the Jews had fallen upon them. Esther 8, verse 14, 17, RSV.
On the day appointed for their destruction, the Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, to lay hand on such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all people. Esther 9, verse 2. Angels had been commissioned by God to protect his people while they gathered to defend their lives. Verse 16, RSV. Mordecai was, elevated to be, next in rank to King Ahasuerus, and he was great among the Jews and popular with the multitude of his brethren. Esther 10, verse 3, RSV. He sought to promote the welfare of Israel. Thus did God bring his chosen people once more into favor at the Medo-Persian court, making possible his purpose to restore them to their own land. But not until the 7th year of Artaxerxes I did any considerable number return to Jerusalem under Ezra. The experiences that came to God's people in the days of Esther were not peculiar to that age. The Revelator, looking down the ages, declared, "The dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Revelation 12, verse 17. Some today will see these words fulfilled. The spirit that in ages past led men to persecute the true church will lead to a similar course toward those who maintain their loyalty to God. Even now, preparations are being made for this last great conflict. The final decree against the remnant people of God will be similar to that issued by Ahasuerus against the Jews. The enemies of the true church see in the little company keeping the Sabbath commandment a Mordecai at the gate. The reverence of God's people for his law is a constant rebuke to those who have cast off the fear of the Lord and are trampling on his Sabbath. Satan will arouse indignation against the minority who refuse to accept popular traditions. Men of position and reputation will join the lawless and the vile against the people of God. Wealth, genius, education will combine to cover them with contempt. Persecuting rulers, ministers, and church members will conspire against them. With voice and pen, by threats and ridicule, they will seek to overthrow their faith. By false representations and angry appeals, men will stir up the passions of the people. Not having a "thus saith the Scriptures" to bring against the Bible Sabbath, they will resort to oppressive enactments to supply the lack. Legislators will yield to the demand for Sunday laws. But those who fear God cannot accept an institution that violates a precept of the Decalogue. On this battlefield will be fought the last great conflict in the controversy between truth and error.
As in the days of Esther and Mordecai, the Lord will vindicate His truth and His people.